Hey, this is Lewis from Civic.
Hey, this is Jim from Civic.
We're talking tonight on the Vinyl Guard.
This episode is brought to you by Groove Washer, the best record cleaners and protective sleeves for your vinyl collection. Ask for the Groove Washer from your local shop or go to groovewasher.com. Discount code VinylGuide10. And now, on with the show.
Well, greetings, friends and homies alike. My name is Nate. Gather round for what is sure to be a glorious episode 380 of The Vinyl Guide, the podcast for record collectors and music nerds, where we be getting all the facts of the records on the record. And this week, we have the band Civic on the show. Now, those of you who regularly listen to The Vinyl Guide know that I am based out of Sydney, Australia, and by total coincidence, I've been privy to a close-up view of what's been turning out to be an amazing boom time for Australian music. Some phenomenal bands have been coming out of Australia in recent years. I'm talking bands like The Chats, Amel and the Sniffers, King Gizzard. I mean, lots of bands that are growing their art and fan base in Australia, and then, of course, exporting to Europe and America and other parts of the world. Now, luckily for everyone, there's a whole new wave coming, and it features bands like Coffin, These New South Wales, Flight to Dubai, and many more. And riding the lip of that next wave is Civic, a five-piece band from Melbourne who just released a new LP, Taken by Force, which is produced by Rob Younger, who you may know from Radio Birdman. And Taken by Force is a hell of a record. I mean, have a listen on any streaming service. And of course, grab a vinyl copy wherever you can, as well as a copy of their previous LP, Future Forecast. Civic has quite a few records, several singles and whatnot, and all of them are getting quite collectible. The band printed such low numbers in the early days, and now lots of people are discovering the band, and they want to go back and get the full Civic catalog. So we talk about that today and much, much more. Plus, there's an extended version of this interview only available to patrons of the Vinyl Guide podcast at patreon.com/vinylguide. More Civic, more questions, more vinyl record talk, no commercials, and high-resolution audio files. And those are only for supporters of the show at patreon.com/vinylguide. If you're not a patron, that's okay. Head up there now, help support the show, and that would be very appreciated. Oh, and hey, real quick, if you like Civic and you enjoy this interview, we've got a ton more episodes and interviews here on the Vinyl Guide podcast. Just follow or subscribe, and you'll get access to episodes like 301 featuring Amel and the Sniffers, all four members. It was a hilarious chat. That's episode 301 of The Vinyl Guide. Episode 256 with Eamon Sandwith of The Chats. Episode 354 with Sam Corton of The Bobby Lees. Episode 351 with Brian Baker of Bad Religion and Minor Threat. Australian music legend John Foy, episodes 340 and 341. Episode 338 with Fifo Riccobono talking about the rare releases of Albert Productions and, of course, working with AC/DC. Episode 339 with Kenny Jones of The Who and The Faces and many, many more. Follow and subscribe to The Vinyl Guide in your podcast app. Scroll, download, listen, and enjoy. All right, there we have it. With the upfronts done, let's get into our conversation with Lewis Hodgson and Big Jim McCullough of Civic.
Mr. Jim.
Yo. Hey, man.
Does anyone ever call you Big Jim McCullough?
They do.
They do.
They do call me Big Jim. Yeah.
It's a compliment. Do you mind if I call you Big Jim?
Man, you can call me whatever you want, but you know what? The best thing you've just done is you've pronounced my last name correctly, which...
Oh, everyone tends to fuck it up.
You get bonus points because you pronounce my last name correctly.
McCullough, of course. McCullough. Who would get that wrong?
Exactly.
Who would get that wrong?
People say McCulloch all the time.
Oh.
Which is wrong.
I think Lewis is going to be joining us here in a minute, yeah?
Is he?
I think so.
I hope so.
Oh, here he comes. He's coming in.
Oh, he's coming.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. Yo! I can see you too. Look at you.
Wait, I just was trying to figure it out on the computer, but it's not working, so I'm just going to have to use my phone if that's all right.
Yeah.
On the phone too. All good.
All right. So we're just going to crack it. I think we're already kind of in the middle of it. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, let's run it up.
Cool. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this week on The Vinyl Guide, we have Big Jim McCullough and Lewis Hodgson of Civic. who are celebrating the release of the brand new album, Taken by Force. Guys, welcome to the show, and above all, congratulations on the new record.
Thanks, Nate. Thanks for having us.
All good, man. So, look, I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this. I am, you fuckers have been, you know, getting lots of attention the last few years. Well-deserved, might I add. The songs and the releases the last few years have been incredibly strong. I got to tell you guys, this is my worry, okay? I got very strong Spidey senses, and my fear is that you guys have so much creative tension within the band that I'm going to wake up one day and you guys will have imploded. Okay. So tell me, how strong is the core of this band?
Pretty strong, I guess. I don't know. We're still hanging in there.
We're fucking strong. You know, we're fucking strong, Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you guys fight a lot? Do you fight? You can't even agree on this one.
No, we don't. We're fucking brothers. We don't fight. No, we do. We fight sometimes, but we love each other. You're always going to have arguments.
It's good fights.
Yeah, it's never like, you know, it's always, hey, look, it's always to make sure that we're, you know, more like it's always for a good purpose, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Because look, I've seen you guys live, fantastic live show. I can't wait to see this new album kind of translate into the live theater. But again, I get these Spidey senses that you guys are kind of living on the edge, and you guys are at this point in your career now where it's going to be on the road. It's going to be a lot of, you know, hanging together and being very close. So, are you guys concerned about that? How are you guys preparing for kind of this next level of your career?
I don't know. I think we've been through quite a lot of bullshit, to be honest. And I reckon, like, you know, we've been through Europe and shit like that before. I reckon we've got each other's backs and all that. So, yeah, not too stressed about, you know, going on the road with these guys.
I'm not too stressed at all. I'm fucking keen as. Let's go.
So what's the plan for 2023? There's an Aussie tour, which is coming up, and you guys just announced a European tour. And you guys are heading South by Southwest, is that right?
Yeah,
in like four, I think just under a month, I think.
Yeah, what days are you guys going to be in Austin? What's the plan for that?
You know, Lewis?
What's the exact dates on that? I don't know, what's that, in about 4 weeks? I don't know.
I'll look. Hang on a sec, I'll look right now while we're online.
It's the beginning of April, I think, yeah?
Hang on, let me pull up this fucking Google Calendar shit, you know. What do we got? March, April, oh no, that's the tour. Hang on. Wait, were you asking about South By?
Yeah.
13th to the 19th of March.
13th to the 19th of March. That's
not long now.
Not long now at all. Okay. Now, you guys are hitting Austin. Are you doing any other shows in the US while you're there?
No, I don't think we can legally, but we're going to have to come back later in the year. It's a visa thing. Like, you're allowed to come in and play South by Southwest, but you can't go out and make money or anything. So we can do that. And then we got to turn around and go home, unfortunately. But we're going to come back. The plans is to come back in September, I guess. And I don't know if I can announce that news. But, yeah, something like that later on in the year.
So the Americans can look forward to, at the end of the year, perhaps seeing you guys on those shores.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully, yeah. Depending on how much these fucking visas and everything costs, it's pretty expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I reckon we'll get there. You know.
Yeah, we'll be sweet. We'll be fine. As long as people keep buying our shit, we'll be fine. You know.
So, Taken by Force, you got the green vinyl that's coming out in Australia. You got different types of vinyl that are going around different parts of the world. Which is the rarest one?
Oh, the rarest one.
Probably the rough trade one, maybe.
Yeah.
There was a small rug done for rough trade, I think. That's a blue. And they're all gone, I think. So pre-ordered.
You know what's even rarer? We can't even talk about this, can we, Lewis?
I don't know what you're about to talk about.
the limited edition covers.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, is that happening or is it too?
I don't know. I think it's too red hot. No, we can't. Sorry, Nate. We're not allowed to talk about this.
Do I get to bleep that out?
Nah, it's fine.
Okay. All right. So there may be some collectible covers coming out. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's the gist of it. Yeah,
that's the
something
gist.
Like that. That's as far as we can go into it.
All right.
This is high classified shit. You know. Highly classified.
I can tell the way you're handling classified information, Jim. I think you're ready for a government clearance.
Yeah, I'm not doing too good. Sorry. Let's forget we said anything.
Let me tell you. I'm going to pull out a couple of things here. All right.
Show us some of your stuff.
Because here, all right, this is. Can you see this?
Future forecasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Civic. Future forecast. Again, this is the flightless version, right?
Yeah,
talk about collectibles. Hang on a sec. Let me show you this.
Oh, what's he got here? Oh, what? Yeah. I don't remember doing that.
I bet you there's a lot of things you don't remember doing, Jim.
Yeah, that's true. Do you remember that, Lewis?
Sure. Yeah, I remember the exact day it was. Yeah.
What was it? Do you remember it?
When I did that.
Was that Crowbar?
It wasn't Crowbar. It was this other a spot in Sydney. It was a place. It was right after the pandemic lockdowns lifted up, and the ceiling was so low that Jim, you were like hitting your head on the ceiling.
Oh, I know the joint. I remember. Yeah, I can't. The poster had the guy with the binoculars.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah, this little spot. Yeah. Crown Hotel.
Oh, no. Crown and Anchor.
Was
that it?
No, that's Adelaide. Okay. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. That's mad, though.
So you guys actually had... Okay, so I got to tell you a story. That was the first date, I think, that you guys had merch. You had T-shirts. The long sleeves. I went up to the merch booth, and I said, how much are those long sleeves? And someone said, $15. And I was like... $15 bucks? And like, yeah, 50. I said, one five. I'm like, no, most people charge 50. No, 15.
We're just trying to get rid of them, too.
They're taking up space. We ordered too many of them.
Was that it? Okay. Yeah. I gave the person a 50, and I just said, give me three, and my kids wore them for the entire winter. Was that me?
I remember that, because Christian from Low Life was doing the merch, and he said that somebody gave him a 50 and asked for a bunch. And I was like, oh, no shit. There you go. It was you.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids wore it, you know, for the whole winter. I mean, I clothed Sick. Them for the whole thing. So. That's another thing where it made me think like, holy fuck, I hope these guys got their shit together. Because, yeah, I'm sure they were selling this at a loss for whatever reason. Again, I'm worried about you guys. I like your band so much. I'm worried about
them. We're all right. We got our shit together, man. Don't worry.
Okay.
Enough.
Okay.
Well, this is why we had to get, we got some other people on board recently. It's been good.
Okay. Excellent. So plans for 2023, Aussie tour. You guys are hitting South by Southwest for 4 days. You got some gigs lined up, some showcases there, no doubt. You got an EU
10,
tour.
Man.
10 in 4 days.
10 shows, 4 days. Bring it on.
What are those schedules like? Is that anything that the public can go to, or is this all for industry folks?
I don't know. What's the deal with South by Southwest? Can anyone just like show up, or is it?
You get conference badges, and people pay like, you know, $1,000 or something like that. And I think they get into, you know, whatever shows they kind of flash. But these are not a lot of the general public tends to be able to go into these unless they spend big.
Oh, what the fuck? I didn't know that.
You know, they're doing South by Southwest in Sydney this year, too, in October.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. It's going to be very different to what I imagined in my head then.
Yeah, I thought it was like open, like bars and.
Same.
Yeah, isn't it like?
There may be. Again, I'm speaking from just understanding how the Sydney one's working. But yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of industry folks, and then there's going to be some general public here and there. But I think the purpose is to kind of show the band off, right? Get some press.
Yeah.
Skills off.
Well, that's very exciting because you guys have been making a lot of friends out there. So very well-known personalities are fans of the band. Henry Rollins, Keith Morris. Who else?
Yeah.
Keith Morris. You know what he said to us?
What?
We got off stage and he was sitting there with his hoodie on in the corner and he's all sweaty, and he looks at and he goes, "Great fucking band." And I was like, "That's all I need to hear from you, Keith Morris."
Keith Morris offered fans cheese board, which was nice.
Would you guys like some cheese?
Yeah.
Are you into dairy? Everything.
Wasn't it like you guys can fucking have any, all, you know, anything you want? Like he can, you know, because they didn't want it, did they?
No, I didn't want it. It was like, there's a cheese board in there. You guys can help yourself too. And I was like, fuck
that. and then we got in trouble from the fucking roadies.
Yeah, they're like, "What are you doing touching Keith Morris's cheese board?" And I'm like,
"Hey, man, hey, put that fucking cheese down, man."
Yeah. Now, the beginnings of Civic. Well, you guys formed in 2018, is that right?
2017, really. But the
technically 2017.
Okay. Vietnam came out early 2018. But yeah, we recorded that in 2017 or something with Billy. Yeah.
When you got the band together, was it with the intention of, okay, we're going to fucking take this thing all the way, or we're going to see how this goes and play some live shows? Like, what was the intent when you guys first started playing?
I don't think we could really plan too far ahead ever, but like it was, yeah, we wanted to get, we, before we'd even played a show, we had the first record recorded. So we wanted to definitely jump into it and give it a crack. And yeah.
So New Vietnam, you recorded before you played even one show.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
that was down. We had all that shit down and we could just come out as a live band already tight and just skip all that fucking 1 year of bullshit we do in a band, you know?
Yeah, we just practiced in this rehearsal space for like a year and we got it all done. And then it was, I don't know. I think looking back, I don't know about you, Lewis, but I didn't really think about it that much until like now looking back on it. I'm like, fucking hell, that's kind of a weird way to do it, but I don't regret it at all. I think it's kind of sick that we did it that way.
I think it's better too, instead of dicking around with your sound and stuff, just coming out with what you reckon's, you know, coming out with your product, if you want to call it that. But
yeah
it cuts out a whole bunch of bullshit, really.
That's pretty bold, nice. You know? And, you know, I mean, credit to you guys for that, because you're relying on your instincts. You're like, here's what we think is good. We're not going out. We're not testing it with an audience and seeing their response. We're just, this is who we are. Bang. How did you get a record deal or who, how did you finance the records when you didn't even really have a name out there for playing live?
Well, Billy, the guy who recorded it, he happens to run Anti-Fade Records. And so he got, you know, first dibs on that. And he was like, while recording it, it's just like, can I put this out? And we're like, absolutely. So
pretty sure New Vietnam cost us about $400, didn't it?
Yeah, it was the cheapest one.
Something like that. $400 of recording time and a few hundred dollars on beers, and it was done.
Now there's three presses of New Vietnam, if I understand right. There's the first and the second, which both have the red cover, and then there's the third with the purple. Is that right?
Husker
Jew
version.
Yeah, that was my idea, which I regret because no one wanted to buy it. But, everyone just kept asking where the red one was, and I was like, oh. But I just thought like the third edition a bit different or something. But yeah.
No, that's cool. You can tell them apart. What's the difference between the first and the second press?
The only difference is the middle, the sticker on the middle of the record. That's the only difference. So I think the first pressing has like this red sticker on it, and then the second one has like this black. It's just a tiny difference, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Little things, you know?
Runs of 500.
Two runs of 500. Yep. And are you familiar with kind of what those are going for now, the collectible ones?
No idea.
They're $100-$150.
Oh, yeah. That's more than they were worth back then.
You can sell three records and finance the next recording of it.
I'm going to sell three records and fucking go to Bali, I reckon.
Hey, so with the band kind of gearing up again, how close are you guys to quitting your jobs?
Not very.
Oh, man.
I'm still working a full-time job at the moment, so juggling that and this band, but it's all good, yeah.
He's a king. King Lewis, yeah. Working hard. There's no fucking money. There's no money yet.
No, yeah. But you guys are hitting the road. So, Lewis, yeah, but you're going to be telling your job. Guys, I'll see you in 2024, maybe.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going to have to happen, I think. It's like, well, if you, it might be the end of the job.
We're all fucking keen and excited to do it, I think. Make some cash, quit our jobs.
So, okay. In 2019, you guys put out a single, Selling Sucking Blackmail Bribes.
Fuck
that
yeah.
That was on Total Punk and Anti-Fade. So that was a split, right? That was that kind of a joint thing with two labels?
Yeah, they split the cost, I think, and did their own version of the cover. So there's a nice glossy one, I think, which is the Anti-Fade one. And then there's like a paper, you know, Total Punk sort of stamp edition one. Yeah.
Aside from the New Vietnam, the first pressing there, do you know which one of the Civic records is most collectible?
Probably Selling Sucking Blackmail Bribes Total Punk 7-inch.
Yeah. I'm not sussed where we're at on like Discogs or anything, to be honest. Not sure.
Yeah, because you guys seem to be printing relatively low numbers, and with the excitement around the band, that seems to be kind of driving the collectors into, you know, trying to get them all.
All right. Well, it's just that we did low numbers in the early days because no one really, I don't know, like we never thought about doing anything over 500. Like it's just something that, I don't know, what about you, Lewis? Like I never thought like we'd go over 500 press.
Well, yeah, you don't want a whole bunch sitting under your bed, you know, then like, but then it's like, and you're just like, well, I guess we can print some more or whatever when the time comes. But yeah, we pressed more now. I don't know. Future forecast was about 2,000.
2,000, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
A future forecast, you had 2,000 of the black and 2,000 of the Coke bottle, I think.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
I think it was, yeah. I think original press flightless was 1,000 Coke bottle, 1,000 black, okay. And then ATO, and then ATO did 2,000 of each.
So, how did you guys make the jump to flightless? Tell me about that conversation that brought you to flightless.
We'll be back after these messages.
Hey everyone, I'm here to talk to you about Seems Easy record sleeve repair strips. Ever find a record in a used bin where the vinyl is gorgeous, but the sleeve has this ugly split and is even falling completely apart? Well, that's okay, grab it anyway, because with Seems Easy record sleeve repair strips, you can fix that right up.
Seems Easy record repair strips repair seam splits from the inside,
so it doesn't affect the appearance of a record sleeve, but it does make it functional again. With Seems Easy, records can now slide in and out like new.
Turn a $5 record into a $25 functioning collectible.
Just ask your local record shop for Seems Easy strips, and if they're not in stock, go to seamseasy.com. That's Seems Easy with two Z's. Seems Easy record sleeve repair strips. Seems easy because it is. Oh, and hey, record nerds, don't forget to clean your records with the very best and safest record cleaner, the Groove Washer. Make your records look and sound their very best and store them with confidence using the new Groove Washer Groove Guard record sleeves. You gotta try this out. It makes a huge difference to the quality of your vinyl experience. Ask for the Groove Washer by name at your local record store and accept no substitutes. Or head over to groovewasher.com and use discount code VINYLGUIDE. 10.
All hail the Groove Washer.
That's groovewasher.com, discount code VINYLGUIDE10.
Now we return to the program, already in progress.
No limits. How did you guys make the jump to flightless? Tell me about that conversation that brought you to flightless.
So I was hanging out with like Benny Jones, who was working at flightless for a while. And we became good mates and met Eric, and you know, they were sort of, I don't know, like we were hanging out, like I was hanging out with the Gizzard guys and stuff, and like just those sort of that flightless crew, and like they're all just such lovely people, you know. And they're showing a bit of interest towards us. Like, was it I'm just trying to think, Lewis, what happened with that when we used the Gizzard studio?
Flightless put together wanted to get a compilation together of some thing, and they were getting all these bands to record in the King Gizzard studio for free, so you know, no one had to pay for recordings for it. And then we jumped in there and sort of had a whole day, and we just ended up recording, like running with it, and we recorded half of Future Forecast in that. And then I don't know when it was decided, but I guess Eric at some point, yeah, was like, wanted to put it out. And yeah, we've sort of also, we got Blatchy in the band as well, who is, you know, he's the drummer. He's like in Beans and Murlocs and stuff. It's just, yeah, it's a bit situational, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of made sense, I think. And then like, he was like, yeah, I want to put it out. And then we sort of sat down, didn't we, and had a bit of a meeting, and we're like, all right, like, are we going to take this direction? And we just decided yes, so we did it.
So how do you balance it all with the drummer being part of several different projects, especially Murlocs, who's touring like mad these days?
Yeah, I don't know. That's it is tricky sometimes. But yeah, it's been, you know, planning, I guess, and stuff like that. But yeah, Murlocs is a pretty busy band, and Blatchy's be away for a bit, but we'll sort of manage somehow. I don't know.
We always make it work.
Yeah, because Murlocs is kind of at the behest of King Gizzard.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to be at the behest of the band that's behest. So
No.
Once Gizzard's going, Murlocs can't, you know, function. You know, it's sort of this, you know, way that works a bit. But
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, exactly. Gizzard's on, Murlocs is off, Civic's on. You know, it's just like this weird little like, bup, bup, bup.
So was there ever a conversation about having Taken by Force on Flightless as well, or just one and done?
I think so.
Maybe. Yeah, possibly. But I think, yeah, we were like, who's going to do it in Australia? But yeah, I mean, I guess we just had a look around and a few different things going.
Yeah, we just kind of like entered a different area, I think. And we were just like, all right, we got some other people working with us now, and they sort of pointed us in some other directions. And, you know, we just, yeah, I guess, felt like our time at Flightless was kind of, we'd done what we need, you know, like there was no bad blood there, and we just kind of moved on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you know what's happening with Flightless these days? I mean, it seems like it seems like everything's sold out. There's not a whole lot of communication out of Flightless.
I don't know fully, but I'm sure, I think that maybe they're just sort of on their way out, but I don't fully know that. I just, yeah, that's the word on the street, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think they're less focusing on releasing stuff at the moment, and I think they're just sort of
distro.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for Eric. Every time he gets a killer band on the label, they end up jumping off.
Yeah. Right.
What is the cover art of Future Forecast? What is that?
You got that, Jim, right? You were there.
It's a photo from Burley Heads in the 70s from a photographer called Dick Hull. So Lewis had the idea. Oh, wait, sorry. Are you saying Future Forecast or Taking My Force?
Future Forecast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That is of a wall in the city. Yeah, it's this brutalist building, and it's like, it's hard to see on the cover. You can't see, but it goes like, if you're standing in front of it, the wall kind of dips in and out like a wave. Mm-hmm. And it was actually my friend Nadine's idea. She was like, you should fucking take a photo of this wall. And I was like, yeah, sweet. That's a good, and she's like, this is a good cover. And I was like, actually true. That is a mad cover. And we went down there and we scoped it, and we thought, fuck it, let's just use that. Cause to be honest, we were running out of time, weren't we, Lewis? Like, things were sort of, it was getting pretty tight, and we were like, fuck, we need to pick something. And I was like, yeah, that looks mad. And it kind of just, I don't know, it all tied in with the kind of vibe of the record, I think, and the title and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very minimalist. So it's a wall inside at Melbourne CBD somewhere.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, yeah, some architect. Yeah. Some brutalist 70s, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
And the name Future Forecast, I mean, what was that taken from? Why call the album that?
I remember I was driving along, and it was actually a lady on the radio, and she was talking about, I just heard her say that word, Future Forecast, and it was like she was talking about the weather. But then I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I've never heard that before. And then I started thinking about, it's kind of like, you know, because that I classified that as our pandemic record, you know, like we did that in pandemic, we recorded it then, and it was kind of like, you know, this sort of uncertain future, you know, so it was like future forecast in terms of like prediction of the future possibly being or probably going to be shit, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I was thinking about it anyway. It's not like a positive, it's not a positive like reading of the future. Also, I just find I like the idea that like future forecasts, it's like it's the weather seems like the only thing that is like it's got this like time travel sort of sci-fi element to it, because it's like how the fuck, like it's like I always thought it was weird that people could look into the future and tell you what it's going to be like tomorrow or the next day or in 5 days, you know. It was just a strange con- and I know it's like obviously not that tech, but you know, when you're a kid, it's pretty tech, you know. You're like, how do, what do you mean you can see what it's going to be like in 3 days, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, does that answer your question?
It does. I know what you mean, because the future forecast, it does have this ominous kind of futuristic vibe to it. And that combined with the cover, again, it seemed very coolly minimalist. So you guys,
shout outs to Nadine from the prize for picking that one out.
Well, now I want to go to the Melbourne CBD and see it myself.
It's on the corner of Spring and Flinders Street.
Spring and Flinders. Okay. And the name of the band, Civic, has that always been there since day one? Did you guys go through a few different names?
I think that was the biggest fight, wasn't it? Just shit band after shit band name, and then...
So many fucking bad band names.
Yeah, I was driving an 88 Honda Civic at the time, which I loved. And I don't know, I just thought the word was real good. And it's quick off the tongue and it's a palindrome, and there's five letters and five members, and I know it's had all these reasons that don't really matter, but I had to sell that one pretty hard for everyone to get into that. But yeah,
the other contenders?
What was it?
Diamond Dust.
It's a big glam.
That was my one. That was after I saw an Andy Warhol painting in Europe called Diamond Dust Shoes. And I was like, it was actually a lyric in the first song on New Vietnam. And I was like, Diamond Dust is a sick band name. And then Lewis is like, that's fucking shit. And I was like, yeah, true it is. So we never used it. But our group chat's still called Diamond Dust though.
So Civic, it's all capitalized, right?
Yeah.
Looks
better like that.
And you guys have that logo, the world with the hammer coming into it.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you guys?
Well, I guess it's just, what is that? I don't know. Pretty smash the world. I don't know. I'm not trying to say anything. It's just a cool image, really. It's a bit like
fuck the world, bro. No, I don't know. Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like, it's more like, it kind of looks like, you know, PhD, like Pure Hard Dance. Do you ever see those jumpers?
No.
It's kind of, it's like a dance club thing, and like heaps of kids used to have it on the back of these hoodies, and they'd be like, you know, chucking talcum powder on the ground and shuffling and shit. And I was always like, saw that. And then when Sammy came up with that design, our mate came up with that design, and I was like, man, that's got to be on a hoodie, like a big face on the back, you know?
Yeah.
It feels very Soviet, right? It feels very proletariat, like civic. Your civic duty, or this is, you know, for the people. And then you've got this symbol there with the hammer going through the earth, future forecast, and a creepy wall. It's like, yeah, these guys are fucking branding themselves in a way.
Maybe you've maybe you're picking up on what we're putting down.
Ooh,
yeah. Maybe that's what we're doing.
Maybe it's the secret theme. Who knows?
Yeah. Very good. So, all right. So let's talk the new record there. Produced, Taken by Force was produced by Rob Younger, who
the king.
Yeah, and for listeners who are outside of Australia may not know Rob Younger, frontman of Radio Birdmen, The New Christs. He's rock royalty here in Australia. So tell me about selecting Rob for the project and working with him.
So my friend Nadine's parents are friends with him, and it was actually their idea. They were like, oh, you guys should get Rob involved. And I was like, as if he's going to even know who the fuck we are, you know, like I thought that he wouldn't know. Anyway, about 3 days later, my phone rings and it's Rob. And I nearly fell over when he was like, hey, it's Rob Younger. And I was like, and he's like, I heard you want to work with me. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, I didn't think you know who we are. And he had a copy of New Vietnam, which is crazy. So he knew who we were and he'd been following us, he said. So he's like, yeah, I'd love to come down and work with you guys. And we flew him down and got to work.
Now, did you give him sketches of the songs? Did he have did you have demos ready for him? Or was it just he landed and heard them for the first time?
Did we have demos, Lewis?
Yeah, but nothing that we gave to him, because you can't actually send him a digital file. Everything you have to send him is this, has to be a hard copy of a CD or something. So we just sort of chucked him in the deep end, really. And yeah, he just adjusted.
Me and him spoke on the phone for a lot, like a couple of weeks beforehand, just talking about it and going through stuff and references. And I know we became real good mates just talking about music and stuff like that. But we definitely did throw him in the deep end, because I remember, like, because we kind of tracked a few songs before he even got there, didn't we, Lewis?
Yeah. Well, we didn't want to waste his time. We thought, well, better make sure everything's up and running and see, you know, run a few songs before he gets there. So, you know, we're not fucking around. And then we get there, show him what we've done, and he's almost like a bit pissed off. He's like,
He was a bit.
He's like, what are you doing? You've already started recording. We're like, oh, sorry, man. But he got into it. He was really keen.
What were you, I guess, expecting him to contribute? Ideas, arrangements? What did you want to get out of him? Because he hadn't heard the music. You just had phone conversations with him.
Well, we were kind of risking it as well. Like, we didn't really even know what a producer was. It just sounded cool. And, like, Rob Young is sick, and we're just like, well, you know, see what happens. Like, we'll get him there. Like, we did have, like, I think a couple conversations. Like, what if he rocks off and it's just real weird? And, you know, tell him to go or something, but no, he showed up and he was fucking really nice.
So funny. He was such a fucking legend. Hey, he just became, he was just like, I don't know, we just all got along with him straight away. And like, it was so weird. Like, I'd been talking to him for weeks and weeks and weeks on the phone that I felt like I knew him. And then when he got out, Nadine rocked up and he got out of the car and he comes over to me, and it felt like I was like, I know this sounds lame, but it felt like I was like seeing an old friend, you know? It's fucking weird. We just had a good connection, you know?
Well, you got to know him over a few weeks, so you finally got to hang out with him. Now, how long did he stick around? What were the sort of ideas that he contributed to Taken by Force?
We were there for a week. We spent 2 days before he got there, so he was there for 5 days in total, and we just smashed it out in a week. And then the ideas he was throwing around, they were like, I don't know, just sort of like, he was in my ear heaps about like guitar bits and guitar sounds and like little, I don't know, a couple of little melodies here and there. He was really helpful with vocals, I think, with Jim. And like,
yeah, he was.
The way he was singing and like, yeah, he was just, I don't know, lots of little inputs and things. He was definitely like, obviously, an amazing vocalist. So he's just, great there.
So yeah, because he comes with that heritage, that legacy of frontman, vocalist, everything. So was it like vocal lines and, you know, that sort of advice? Is the production kind of focusing?
Oh, he was just good at like, he'd say to me, like, for instance, I was doing a song and then he'd say, oh, you know, because like I'd written all the melodies, you know, like everything was done, or like Lewis had written, you know, Lewis and I shared a lot of that sort of stuff. And like, so we kind of had all the melodies already down, I would assume. Oh, maybe not from Fly Song and End of the Line. Anyway, so, he would just, you know, give me little tips and stuff on like vocal things and like maybe try it this way or maybe try it that way. Or, but I think just having him around made us perform better and play better. And, you know, because it's like there was this king in the corner of the room and we had to kind of pull out, you know, we had to shape up, you know.
No arguing. Everyone's on their best behavior.
Yeah,
we weren't on our best behavior, but you know, in terms of like getting the takes as best we can, we definitely, you know, we wanted to impress him. Oh, I did anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everyone's like, "Oh shit, Rob Young is here," so don't fuck around.
So you were saying, Jim, the photo, the cover of Taken by Force. Again, that's that you seem to be very involved in the artwork for the band. Is that fair?
Oh, nah, I think we're all pretty, like, it's all, we all get pretty into it. We're all pretty, through our idea. Well, it was actually Lewis's idea, the whole cover of this, wasn't it, Lewis? Like, the drop shadow on the text, the photo of the surfer, all that was all your idea, Lewis.
Yeah, I was thinking of it to kind of look like Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska. You
Oh.
know, that
Stark.
the red, the font up the top, the font down the bottom, and the black and white image in the middle. And I was thinking like a big wave surfer, you know, like one of those the giant waves when you see this tiny little surfer on it. But we kind of was like looking through, you know, photos and options and stuff, and we just really liked the one that we picked. And you know, this classic Australian photographer took that, and he's a mystery surfer. We don't know who he is, so you know, if
Which is
anyone's got
kind of
any idea.
sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still trying to work out who it is. No one can work it out. But
Photographer doesn't know who he is. It's just this,
yeah.
yeah.
Which is
Yeah.
mad, I think.
That's an interesting thing, because now you got a bit of a quest. Who is this
Yeah.
surfer? It was taken like in the early 70s, right?
Yeah, it's like
Yeah.
74.
He looks like he knew what he was doing. He's
Yeah,
yeah.
he kind of looks a bit like menacing or something. He looks a bit like a goblin, you know, like I don't know. I
Yeah,
like it.
looks
It's
like
like it continues with the ominous sort of theme that we keep sort of touching into, not even on purpose.
is there a theme to Taken by Force? Because you have the bookends. You've got Dawn and Dusk. Is there a theme that kind of pulls the album together?
Yeah, I guess there's, you know, it's about as close we're gonna get to a concept record, but it's like, you know, the end of the world and like the yeah, through warfare and that sort of thing. Like with the first song that I wrote for this record was called Taken by Force, and then that just sort of the lyrics to that are pretty stark and yeah, all about yeah, overnight warfare and the nuclear bomb and you know, the end of the world. And yeah, they kind of run the theme through it through the rest of the record. We chose War at Hands of Time by Master's Apprentice. I don't know if you know them.
I know of them.
Oh.
I'm not that familiar. So that's a cover then, yeah?
Yeah, the cover. That's a 60s Australian band, you know, that ties in with the surf theme, but it's also the war theme and, you
Anti-Vietnam
know.
song.
Yeah. And this is like, you know, I can't say that all songs are like really tie in with the dystopian thing, but yeah, it's de definitely the overall vibe. And yeah, wanting to have a sci-fi element to it as well. And yeah, I think we kind of pumped that out.
So, are you already stockpiling songs for the next project? Are you the type of songwriter who,
Fucking
you
oath
know?
we are.
Yeah, we got new shit. Yeah, new
Already.
album, new
Yeah.
concept. No, it's well, yeah, it's not 100% there, but we got to get, you know, we're about to be touring and
Look,
stuff.
Lewis does you got we got to talk you got so Lewis does this thing where he comes up with these ideas for record for like concepts for records where it's like it's a name or it's a word or whatever. That's where the like 1984 meets Endless Summer comes from, you know? And so it's
Yeah.
like that's kind of paints the picture and the image for the record, and then it's the vibe and everything. And like the next one, we can't say what it is, but Lewis has got he's already worked it out.
Well, yeah. Well, we're working on it. And it's like Roland's input as well and stuff. And it's yeah. So it's a new vibe. Last one was surf, sci-fi, warfare. This next one's gonna be something else, but it's gonna be sick, I reckon.
Guys, I gotta say, as a fellow Australian, even though I don't sound like one,
Ha.
we are freaking proud of you guys, and very happy to see this album come out. Lewis, Big Jim, thank you so much for coming on the Vinyl Guide. I want to recommend everyone, if you haven't already, check out Civic's new album, Taken by Force. Also, check out all their other ones, Future Forecast, New Vietnam. Vinyl is available no matter where you're at in the world at civicivic.com. I suppose that's one of the only domains they have left that could align with the band.
That's
I'm
it.
going to be putting these links in the episode page if you want to get them direct. Or you could dial up Taken by Force and all the rest of their work on any streaming services, Apple Music, Spotify, wherever. Check out this band and also follow them on social media. If they come into your town,
Look
do
out.
whatever you can. Yeah, lock up your daughters. No, do whatever you can to be able to see this band. Again, I've had the pleasure to see them a few times, and they're amazing. I'm looking forward to the Crowbar show coming up here in Sydney shortly. And those of you in Europe and in the US, you're in for a treat later on this year. Again, Lewis and Jim, thanks again for coming on the Vinyl Guide.
Thanks so much, Nate.
right, there we go. Big Jim McCullough and Lewis Hodgson of Civic joining us here on The Vinyl Guide. And don't forget, there's an extended version of this interview available to patrons of this podcast, patreon.com/vinylguide. Head up there, grab all the extras, help support this show. The whole ecosystem works, and it is very much appreciated. That's patreon.com/vinylguide. That is it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Hey, do us a favor and share these episodes on your social media. You know, you put them on your Facebook or tweet them out on Twitter. Put them in the different Facebook groups or user forum. You're up on Reddit or wherever you are. Just share The Vinyl Guide podcast and links and help your friends get to know about our show. That is very much appreciated. You can always leave us a positive review on iTunes or Spotify. Give us 5 out of 5 or 10 out of 10 stars. Say something nice. That is always appreciated. And we'll be back shortly with a brand new episode. So until we talk next time, get out there and buy some records, people. Cheers.
That's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Send your thoughts to Nate@thevinylguide.com or follow or tag us on Instagram @vinylguide. Until next time, keep spinning.